happy life down in beautiful Florida, I'm sure. And as always, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, always thanks. Always enjoy talking ball with you, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Hey, first things first, over the first week plus there, since from earlier this month when the pitchers and catchers have reported, since the games have got underway, what's the general feeling around camp right now?
Well, the one consensus that I've heard more times than anything is World Series or bust. That's the mantra for this team. That's the mindset of these guys in this clubhouse that aren't going to be happy with making the playoffs. And, it was sort of the gist last season, but it's really been cranked up here this year. And I think the way it ended, Freddie Freeman said it best when they got eliminated, and he said it again when he got here to camp, that they felt like they had a team that could win the whole thing last year. And, that Game 5 loss, really the Game 4 loss against St. Louis was probably harder to swallow than Game 5. I mean, they were just blown out in Game 5. But Game 4 was a game you could have won. You had it right in front of you, and you couldn't get the job done. So these guys are motivated to get back and to put, to bed 20-plus years of frustration for this fan base that's watched them constantly bow out in the first round. So these guys are really determined to push forward and prove people wrong once again. I mean, there's a lot of folks nationally that are picking the Braves to be a third or fourth place team in the East. And as Brian Snitker said, I hope they continue to do that. They did that the last 2 years, and we proved them wrong, and we're going to try to do that again here this year.
The interesting part, last year there was folks picking anybody other than the Braves, but, now going into the third campaign, it seems like the Braves have a lot more folks out there thinking that they can do it again compared to those that don't.
Well, they should. I mean, look, you saw some really good things from this offense, especially when they moved Ronald Acuna Jr. into the leadoff spot. I mean, that was a game changer for this team as far as the offense was concerned. For me, top four in the order is probably as good as any top four in baseball, with Acuna, Albies, Freddie, and Marcelo Ozuna. I'd put that head-to-head against just about anybody in the game right now. The question becomes the pitching. And, I had my concerns coming down here. I remember driving down from Atlanta a few weeks ago and thinking about all the storylines and what we're going to cover and, who could be a surprise story and things of that nature. But the one question I had was the rotation. Do they have enough in the starting rotation? And, of course, with Cole Hamels, you're not even being here when pitchers and catchers reported, that makes it a little bit more of a concern. So, Soroka was great last year. He was an all-star, sixth in the Cy Young voting. Max Fried, 17 wins. Now, whether you put a whole lot of stock into wins anymore, that's up for debate. That's another story for another day. Folty found his slider and really finished the second half on a high note. So 1-3, you feel good. Now it becomes who's your 4 and who's your 5. Right now, as things stand, I think Sean Newcomb's your 4. And I think the battle really becomes down to Kyle Wright, Felix Hernandez, and Bryce Wilson for that fifth spot. So if they want to repeat as division champs, offensively, I think they have enough. The question I have becomes the pitching. The bullpen's going to be fine. It's just the starting rotation, and they need guys to step up, especially until they can get Cole Hamels healthy.
Kyle Wright seems like he's the guy that is certainly very well equipped to be able to finally, make it to the big leagues and stay there. He certainly has shown it in the minor leagues. Unfortunately, when he's had the opportunities to do it on a consistent basis with the Braves level, that has not been the case. Does he feel, and does the organization feel, that he can pull this off this time around?
I think so. I mean, I think what you saw last spring with him winning a job, and again, there was two injuries in the rotation last spring. So by necessity, he started the year in the rotation with Bryce Wilson. Obviously, it didn't work out for either of those guys, for sustained success in the big leagues, at least to that point. But I think, what we have to remember is these guys aren't finished products, and they got another full season under their belt last year, which will only help them this year. They know what to expect. They know what they have to do to try to compete and win a job. So I think that also is in their corner here as well. But this is a big spring for all those young guys because, again, this is a team that's looking for someone to really take the bull by the horns and run with this and make the most of their opportunity. And if not, guys have, run the risk of being passed on the depth chart. And it's crazy to think that we're talking about 23, 24-year-old guys potentially being, passed. But when you've got Ian Anderson, when you've got De La Cruz, when you've got some of these other young arms, Davidson as well. These are some impressive young arms. Patrick Weigel as well. If you don't go out there and perform and succeed and continue to do it every 5 days, the team's going to find someone who will. And that's the last thing any of those guys want. So I do think they believe in all these guys. They haven't certainly lost faith in them, but they want to see more, and they want to see it on a consistent basis.
Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network joins us, you know, almost every year as far as spring training. And, you know, there's a few exceptions, and the Braves could certainly be one of those exceptions. You know, there's a player, whether it's a training camp, a non-roster invitee who has just a tremendous spring training and makes and earns a spot on the roster. Is there a guy that if you're a fan of the Braves, you could be watching out for during the spring?
Probably not to break with the big league club to start the season. I just think that, you know, as far as the bench and the everyday lineup is set. You're good there. I don't see, you know, an Ian Anderson having enough time to show that he could start in the rotation. So I've kind of taken his name out of the real serious consideration. But there are guys to follow as far as, you know, once the season gets going. Let's say the Braves have an injury in their outfield and they need someone to come up. I think Drew Waters would be the first guy to come up. He's got power from both sides. He can play all three outfield positions. More suited for the corners, I think. But, you know, he's a guy to really keep an eye on. Christian Pache is another young outfielder who defensively could probably play in the big leagues tomorrow. His bat still needs some work. So obviously he'll get that chance to continue to develop at the AAA level here this season. But again, these guys are one phone call away. As far as, you know, another guy to keep an eye on, behind the plate, Shea Langeliers is a guy who has already opened eyes with this Braves coaching staff. He was the Braves' first-round pick, the catcher out of Baylor last year. In camp, you know, less than a year after he was in college playing with Baylor. Tremendous opportunity for him. Same with Braden Shumate, a young infielder who was also one of the Braves' top picks in last year's draft. Both those guys are getting phenomenal opportunities here in spring, and that's only going to, you know, give them that confidence going forward. So I don't think anybody is going to be a surprise candidate to start the year here in Atlanta. But that being said, there are some guys that are close and can definitely leave a very positive impression in the mind of the coaching staff and the front office. As far as, you know, the first phone call they make down to AAA, it could be one of those guys. Who knows?
All right, if you would give us an update on Freddie Freeman. It looks like that everything seems to be okay, and he should be able to return to the lineup, sometime next week? What's the latest on him?
Yeah, probably next week, Monday or Tuesday is what I'm thinking for Freddie. Talked to him this morning. He's in great spirits. He was bouncing around the clubhouse like he always does. Only thing he wasn't doing was going out and taking batting practice to start the game today. But he's feeling good. He feels fine. He's been getting treatment on that elbow. It's nothing uncommon, what he's going through, this soreness that he's experiencing. Because, you know, look, part of his rehab process this offseason after the surgery was to swing the bat, to go to the batting cage, to hit this offseason. But there's a big difference between going to the batting cage a couple of days a week out in California and, you know, coming to spring training and taking ground balls every day and taking live BPs and playing in games. It's a whole other level of exertion that your body goes through. They consulted with Dr. Olchek, who was the surgeon who performed the procedure back in October. They had a visit with him yesterday. He said, this is nothing uncommon. It'll be a few days. And instead of pushing it late February, give it time to cool down. And he still has plenty of time. Opening day is a month from today. So plenty of time for him to get enough at-bats to be ready. So Freddie feels good. The front office is not concerned. Alex Anthopoulos told us yesterday in Sarasota before the game against the Orioles, not concerned, and he repeated that three or four times, I'm not concerned. So I think that this is something very minor, and what you're going to see is the Braves continue to err on the side of caution when it comes to a Freddie Freeman, when it comes to a Mike Soroka, who had a very, very minor little tweak of his groin last week. It pushed him back a few days. That's a luxury you have when spring training is 6 weeks long.
All right, Kevin, so no major concerns about Freddie Freeman. What about those same kind of concerns for one Cole Hamels?
Well, look, I'm concerned about Cole Hamels. I think I'm probably a little more worried than most people are because this is not new. The shoulder is not new for Cole Hamels. He's been dealing with this throughout the course of his career. I remember covering him in Philly when he had this a couple times. Now, this is a different type of shoulder injury. This happened throwing a weighted ball. He is here with the team. In Northport, getting treatment, being seen by the team doctors just pretty much on a daily basis. But, you know, there's probably going to be another week or so till they reevaluate him and see where he is from a health standpoint. I would think May 1st is when we could probably, you know, circle on the calendar. And that's if all goes well, barring any setbacks. You know, again, for a guy who's had shoulder issues in the past, I'm concerned. I'm worried about it. I really am. But, you know, the team is hopeful that with this rest, with the treatment, with the proper time off, that he'll be okay. And look, if he's going to miss time, I'd rather it happen in April than happen in August, right? I mean, you want to, he said it too. Cole said, look, if I can get back and be healthy and pitch for 5 months and be, you know, rested and be in a, you know, strong, feel strong headed into the playoffs, that's the main goal. So I think the Braves are optimistic this is not a long-term thing. But again, I think as far as a timetable, maybe May 1st, and that maybe that's even a little optimistic on my part.
If you would, Kevin, as far as from our for our listeners as well, you know, with regards to throwing the weighted ball, I mean, was he doing what he was supposed to be doing? Was he under the careful eyes of the trainers? I mean, how exactly did this happen? I mean, because I know organizations are different. Some like their pitchers to throw footballs, for example. I mean, so with regards to him straining the shoulder with the weighted balls, was that a normal thing early in spring training for the Braves?
Yeah, it's normal. Guys do it in the off season. You know, there's a place called Driveline up in the Pacific Northwest where guys go in, and their whole training program is around weighted balls to build strength, to help with velo, things of that nature. Guys do it all the time. It's nothing out of the ordinary. So it was just part of his off season workout, and he just tweaked something while he was doing it. And you know, Cole's the kind of guy. I kind of look at him as a guy where it's hard to hold back. Some guys, it's hard to, you know, go 60%, 70%. And I think he just overdid it a little bit, and that's how the soreness occurred. But he told the training staff, he told the team right away, did the right thing there. So no, this is nothing out of the ordinary. Guys, a lot of times will do this. Again, it helps build stamina, build strength, and more, most importantly, for a lot of guys, it helps with their velocity when they start throwing that lighter ball. And he's sort of equated to the batters when they put the donut on the bat and they swing the heavier bat, helps them with their bat speed. Well, this is sort of similar with the arm speed.
If you would also, third base, certainly going to be one of those interesting spots to watch out for. Austin Riley, Camargo, how is that shaping up early on?
Well, I think it's Camargo's job to lose. I really do. I just think that, you know, he has more range in the infield than Austin Riley, and that's not a knock on Austin, but, you know, I think that we saw it today. There was a ground ball to the left side that Austin didn't get to, and I sort of made the comment in the press box, I think Camargo would have had it, and I saw a few heads nod up and down in agreement. So I just think that, you know, the shape he came into, he lost about 20 pounds this offseason. He's in phenomenal shape, Camargo, and so is Austin Riley. I'm not ganging up on Austin by any means, and they're both going to get equal playing time. We saw Austin at third today. We'll see Camargo at third tomorrow. And basically every other day they're getting, you know, their three or four at-bats. So they're both going to get ample opportunities to win that spot. I just truly believe it's Johan Camargo's job to lose right now.
Well, the big thing about Camargo is the fact that he can play first. He can play second. He can play short or third. He can play right field. I mean, the fact that he can play so many different positions, that is so valuable for any team out there to have somebody like that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the Braves love versatile guys. I mean, you saw it with Charlie Culberson. Charlie has played in 7 of the 9 defensive positions for the Braves over the last few years. Camargo can pretty much play anywhere. The nice thing is that you now know that you have versatility that maybe we didn't realize with Austin Riley this time last year. You know, you saw him play left. You saw him in right a little bit. He has a first baseman's glove here in camp. He told me that, hey, you know, if they need me in a pinch, I could certainly go over there and you know, work with Wash and try to get used to the footwork of playing first. So, you know, even Austin Riley, a guy who is primarily playing third base here in spring this year, because that's what they want him to focus on. They want all of his attention on third base, and that's what they want his mindset to be, is winning that job. But, you know, again, a guy who's not strictly just a third baseman now, you know, he can play the corners and really even first base in a real emergency. And that's good because the Braves don't have a true backup to Freddie Freeman. If something was to happen more than just a day or two to Freddie, you need to find somebody that you can trust over there. And Austin thinks that maybe he can be that guy eventually down the road.
What will Nick Markakis' role be this year?
Very limited. I don't expect to see him get much playing time, honestly. He'll be a bat off the bench, most likely. You know, he'll get some starts against righties if they want to, you know, load up on left-handers. But for the most part, Ozuna and Acuna are going to play every day. They're going to play left and right, respectively. And now it's going to be who plays center. And, you know, for the most part, it's going to be Ender. You could see Adam Duvall out there as well. But really, for me, you know, Nick becomes a really, really good bat off your bench. Makes your bench a whole lot deeper when you've got a guy like that who can come off, you know, and be as consistent as Nick Markakis has proven to be over the course of his career.
If Ender struggles, I mean, I don't see him struggling from a defensive standpoint, but if he struggles around the 200 mark for a lengthy period of time, is it inviting to maybe move Acuña to center field and put Nick Markakis in right?
You could certainly do that. You know, the Braves do like Acuña in right. They just like his arm better in right field, and I think he's felt more comfortable over there. But absolutely, look, Ender has always been a slow starter. And if Ender gets off to another slow start, I don't think they would hesitate at all to make a change and you know, ride the hot hand. And, you know, again, Markakis is not going to give you a whole lot of power. We know that. But he's going to put the bat on the ball. He's going to get on base. He's going to be a consistent, you know, solid defender. So, you know, look, if Ender gets off to a slow start, I don't think they'd hesitate by just riding the hot hand and finding out how they can make that lineup, you know, the best possible lineup they can every single night.
Before we let you go, we were talking about this earlier this hour, the Houston Astros, so far in the, what, five games, seven hit batsmen. I mean, this to me is not going away after the spring training wraps up and the first game of the regular season. Is that enough punishment for a team like this?
Absolutely not. I mean, they have not, they've gotten off pretty easy. You know, I think in my opinion, and it's the opinion of lots of folks, especially one Nick Markakis in the
very much so
about 10 days ago. He doesn't say a whole lot, but when he does, boy, he made it count, didn't he? So that's a common refrain I've heard from a lot of guys, both on and off the record, that the players got off relatively easy, actually very easy. And, you know, for the commissioner to say that these guys are going to have to hear about it and answer the questions and live with it, well, they're also the ones that broke the rules. So I have a hard time finding any sympathy for those guys. I think they really they got off very easy. There's been guys that have suffered much further punishments in this game than what the Astros did, and it's not okay. And again, I think when you hear a Mike Trout speak out about it, when you hear Cody Bellinger's comments or Justin Turner or even Nick Markakis, when you hear these prominent guys, believe me, maybe it might only be one or two guys per clubhouse speaking up, but there's 25 to 30 to 40 guys in that locker room that have the same mindset. And this is not going to go away anytime soon.